You're listening to Radio Influence.
This is the Valor Hour, powered by the law offices of Ogle, Elrod, and Beryl on Radio Influence. Your weekly glimpse inside all things Valor Fights, and a look at what's going on in the rest of the MMA community. Here are your hosts, the president of Valor Fights, Tim Loy, and your color commentator, Casey Oxendine.
Welcome to the Valor Hour, a look into everything Valor Fights, as well as the headlines from combat sports across the world. Thanks for joining us, and remember to subscribe on Apple Podcasts and Stitcher. This week, it's the official D3 Elite Strikefest event preview, as we discuss a stacked card of fights going down this Friday night at Carver Recreation Center in Johnson City, Tennessee. We will also recap a big night of action from last weekend's Fight Night in the Shed. Plus, we have a great lineup of guests. All of that, plus a big week in national news. And as always, Valor Fights President Tim Loy will address your questions during the Valor Hour Q&A segment. I'm Casey Oxendine, joined by the president of Valor Fights, Tim Loy. Tim, you are preparing to climb on that big bird to Vegas for a big UFC weekend, but it's going to be a big weekend here as well.
Yeah, man. Yeah, we're right in the middle of this summer slam, I guess. You know, we've got a lot of stuff going on, and I don't know. I feel a little more nervous about this Vegas trip than I would be if I were here trying to man the ship that you're going to be manning for me. I'm a little skeptical.
Well, I'm going to be an agent, and this is the first time I've ever been an agent, and that means I am handling the behind the scenes of Strike Fest by proxy for Tim, and so it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm excited about it, but I'm worried about you, but I think it's a great time. Now, we are also joined by two guest hosts alongside us tonight, of course, journalist extraordinaire Alan Poole and the master cutman himself, Mark Laws. Guys, are you ready to break down a big card?
I'm going to go first, Mark. Yeah, man, I can't wait, man. It's great to be back.
I'm absolutely ready.
We've been talking about this whole Vegas ordeal. And yeah, I think it's going to get crazy. I mean, it started out with Tim and the crew. And next thing you know, Mark's talking about going. You've got Alan talking about going. I'm living vicariously through you guys. So I'm hoping that you pick up and go. You know, I want to hear all the stories and everything like that. I was telling Mark he's going to have to get a lot of video and then erase it immediately, you know, even before he gets home with it, you know, just to say he did it. Guys, we have an awesome card tonight, or an awesome show tonight, and let's get started. We've got some news, of course. You know, we were just talking about it, UFC weekend in Vegas. We're talking about Tough 25 on Friday, we're talking about UFC 213 on Saturday, then Fight Night, the Contender Series on Tuesday night. Man, what a lineup of fights, man. This is it, Tim.
Yeah, it's International Fight Week, so there's a lot of fighting going on, you know. And you know, I'm heading out tomorrow. Going to meet my partner Jason Baril out there, my longtime friend Jason Kubik, and hopefully some of these other cats that are talking about going. We'll see. It should be fun, you know. I'm excited. And we've got the UFC Hall of Fame inductions on Thursday night with Sakuraba and Joe Silva, Uriah Faber. I think Maurice Smith was the other guy going in. So that's going to be cool, of course. And then the finale on Friday night is a pretty interesting little card. There's several female fights on there. And then, of course, UFC 213 Saturday has taken a lot of blows. You know, I was like real pumped a couple of months ago when it had Cowboy versus Robbie and TJ and Cody. I was pretty stoked. Now I can't say I'm as stoked for the card, but I'm still excited for the trip.
Well, you mentioned Sakuraba and Maurice Smith, those two legends that I kind of came up in the sport watching and admiring. One thing I was disappointed in, and he actually tweeted and actually made some comments on it in an article recently, Marco Huas. You know, they talked about the King of the Streets, Marco Huas. I was hoping that he would get a nod there. You know, he was one of the first tournament champions there, and he was like actually the last professional fighter to fight along with Paul Varland, in the state of New York before this recent change in legislation that permitted it again. So I was kind of, hoping to maybe see him in there. Maybe we'll see him next year. Now, moving on, it was fight night in the shed last Friday night, and man, it did not disappoint. And I've got a full lineup of results here. So let's talk a little bit about it, about the event itself. Tim, just real quick, a few words about the show.
Man, it was really fun. One of my favorite venues, no doubt. The Shed at Smoky Mountain Harley-Davidson in Maryville. Great host. Josh Formant was our host there, and he was great to work with. The whole staff there was awesome and really cool, unique venue to see a show. I think everyone had a great time. The crowd was hot all night. We had some great fights. It was a blast.
Well, let's talk about the main event first. It was an amazing main event. It was the second WMMA main event that we have been a part of in the last few weeks. Alana Arnett taking on Emily Prince for the Valor Fights women's flyweight title. And it was ultimately Alana Arnett who secured the victory into round two. And it was what a fight it was. What a battle. Up until then, very back and forth, particularly on the ground. But in the end, Alana Arnett able to hold Emily Prince in position and deliver the TKO finish.
Yeah, man, that was a fun one. There was a lot of good scrambles on the ground, a lot of great transitions, and both ladies really fighting for that position. But at the end, Alana just too much, a little too physical, and she did a great job. That's our first ever, I think, our first 125 female title we've ever awarded. So, again, our second female main event in a row, which is a really cool thing. The crowd was really hot for that one. And congrats to Alana. She definitely fought well and looked great with a new camp there at Adversity with Ian Lawler. What'd you think, Alan? That you're a big women's MMA fan, and what'd you think about that main event?
Man, it certainly did not disappoint. I mean, I was kind of emotionally attached anyways because I'm good friends with Emily Prince. Man, they were just going back and forth. And, I like it. I had a death grip on my camera. Like I have like a gazillion pictures from that matchup, but ooh-wee, man. Yeah, that was a thriller.
Well, moving on, our co-main event, it was another one that really delivered a lot of back-and-forth action. Men's flyweight, it was for the belt. Of course, Jacob Clemens, the defending champion, taking on Diego Batista. In the end, it was Jacob Clemens taking the win by submission, rear naked choke in round two, but not without a battle, having a battle on his hands. Talk about it.
Yeah, that was there was a lot of talk leading up to that one. Both guys very confident that they would get the win, and it was the Tennessee versus Georgia match, and two very good camps going to war. But Jacob Clemens, he's solid, man. He's one of these guys that, in my opinion, is ready to take that leap to the pro level. We'll see if he does or not. There may be a few more guys out there for him as an amateur, but for the most part, he's cleared out our local region. We may could reach out a little bit further and get another test for him as an amateur, but he's definitely his star is shining bright. And props to Diego. He put up a great fight. He was game opponent, skilled opponent, but Jacob is Jacob's just on another level.
Mark, you were there in the corner, and of course, Jacob Clemens extremely well. You've been around since day one with him. Talk about this matchup.
Man, it was an awesome matchup. There was a little bit of issue on weight on Thursday, but Diego Batista, being the professional he was, he actually cut the weight and made it to where it was a title fight. So, props to him. He went out there, he fought hard, he fought well. He just fell a little bit short there in the second and got caught in the choke. But, what else can you say about Jacob Clemens? I mean, the kid is as legit as it gets, man. I mean, he's a finisher, and I look forward to big things from him.
Feature bout of the night, Dramel Strong taking on Logan Neal in what would turn out to be a grind, and that is par for the course for Dramel Strong, a guy who is, no pun intended, very strong on the ground, a heavy blanketing his opponent, and takes the 3-round unanimous decision. Tim, a great well-matched fight, first off, but really a very entertaining fight, and really you saw moments that Logan Neal could have, you know, shined and really stole it, but it was Jermell who held on to it.
Yeah, I think this one kind of went about how people kind of figured it would go. That said, I think Jermell did open up a little bit more than normal with his striking in the first round. If I can remember correctly, I think he may have dropped Logan early.
He absolutely dropped Logan Neal. It was a nasty shot. I think it was a straight right, and down went Logan. Props to Logan for recovering the way he did, and he actually ended up, you know, having his moments in that round. But yeah, Jermell Strong definitely adding a new facet to his game. Alan, what did you think of this matchup?
Man, it went kind of how I thought it was going to go. I've had Jermell blanketed on me before. I could not get him off. As soon as I saw his ground control, I knew that it's going to go his way. You know, I couldn't get him off me, and I don't expect anyone else to I don't think that they're used to that level of whatever he's doing, you know, like just keeping you down almost, not Sambo, but I mean, I know it's just straight wrestling, but he really is big on position. You know, he will keep that position and ride it out.
You know, at the end of the day, you know, he had fought and come up short against David Robbins. He was in the corner of Logan. So, you know, the Killer Bees, they knew what they were up against. They knew the game plan. And they, at the end of the day, just he didn't have enough wrestling to stop it. Like you said, he did have some good moments. You know, there were some times where he would get close on a submission and had some good striking exchanges. So, you know, definitely a good showing still for Logan Neal against a seasoned, tough opponent in Jermell Strong, who's getting up there close to 10 amateur fights now.
Well, of course, in the remainder of the bouts, we saw AJ Bowden defeat Kevin Alexander by KO, TKO in round two. Olivia Parker takes out Tracy Starks by TKO in round one. 23 seconds into round one, in fact. Casey Peel takes out Rodrigo Martinez at a minute 38 of round three. One heck of a fight. And then we saw Caleb Miller take out Anthony Bryant by unanimous decision. Guys, anything that stands out in these matchups?
You know, I think that Casey Peel looked great. Rodrigo Martinez was very tough, a guy that we saw get a win in his debut against another skilled opponent from American Top Team. And I think that... Peel is a guy that if he stayed active more, he could really be a guy that we're talking about more often, you know, that's in the mix for titles and getting ready to go pro. I mean, great looking kid and very talented, just needs to be more active, you know, at the end of the day. Him and Bowden both. AJ Bowden also looked great. Mm-hmm. And those guys from Bunnies, you know, man, just very, very solid fighters that I'd love to see more of.
They have thick records too, man. All those guys, they come to fight. Very strong and a lot of pressure on top. Mark and Alan, any fights that particularly stood out to you guys?
Everybody from – go ahead, Alan.
No, I went first last time. You go ahead.
I was just going to say, all those guys from Bunny's team. Now, I mean, you know, they – Casey Peel, especially, you know, if he didn't take so long in between fights, I mean, he could potentially be a star, you know. I mean, I really want to see the kid do good, and he's a polite kid. He's very, very humble. He's awesome. And everybody you see come from Buddy's teams like that. And I just want to see more of those guys. I want to see more teams like that, you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
A couple just like lower on the card, just real quick, just that Caleb Miller and Anthony Bryant fight was awesome. That was two guys making their debuts from solid teams and took a very tough test for their debuts and put on a great show. That was the fight of the night. And also Yancy Alcat from Shield Systems is a female prospect to definitely keep an eye on. She looked great. And also Joseph Long, of course, from American Killer Bees, making his MMA debut. Those are kind of the other winners that kind of stood out as guys and gals that could be people to watch.
Joseph looked awesome, man. Joseph looked incredible for American Killer Bees.
One thing to note is that we also spoke with UFC standout OSP that, you know, that night. He came on and spoke with us, and we could not announce it then, but we spoke about it a little bit behind the scenes, and it's been announced that OSP will headline UFC Fight Night September 23rd against Shogun Hua in Japan. And, of course, that is a throwback to the old school Pride stuff. Of course, with Strikefest coming up, we're going to have a lot of discussion on that. But really, very cool to see OSP go against Shogun again. This will be a rematch. And I think it's a huge milestone for OSP to headline there in Japan. We are always so behind him. I call him the savior of Tennessee MMA for a reason. So a great night of fights there at Fight Night in the Shed. But that does it for our national news. But before we speak with our first guest, it is time for our weekly Q&A segment. Tim, are you ready for this?
Let's do it.
All right. Well, here we go. Question number one. What kind of statement did Jacob Clemens make in his title defense there at Fight Night in the Shed?
I think a big one, man. You know, I wouldn't have honestly called a finish in this fight. I thought that both guys were going to be, you know, real close and that it would be tough to get a finish for either guy. But Jacob looked pretty dominant, man, against a guy that is, you know, one of Atlanta's better prospects. And, you know, I think with a finish in the second round, definitely kind of made a big statement.
Well, question number two, and I know that the place was only packed to the rafters, but they are asking, will you be coming back to Maryville for another card at the Shed?
The Shed was thrilled, as was everyone involved, and we will definitely be back. I think it's going to become an annual kind of thing. You know, look for us each summer.
Well, and of course, question number three, what are your final thoughts on your first Fight Night in the Shed event?
Success, man. Yeah, it was a good time. It was fun. It was one of those cards that, as like any card, has its hiccups, but at the end of the day, it was a fun, action-packed card. The crowd was hot. It was a cool venue. The weather cooperated, and everyone had a great time.
Well, moving on, question number four. Looking forward to when worlds collide. When was the last time you were this excited about a main event?
Wow. Man, that's a good one. You know, I gotta say, it's been a minute. You know, this is a really good main event. I gotta say, you know, the last time I've been this kind of stoked for one was probably not this year. Probably, you know, it's probably last year when we were angling towards a Townsend and New. I was pretty pumped for that, and you know, a few other times. But you know, at the end of the day, but you know, bottom line, this is two very, very solid, strong prospects. Putting their O on the line, man, putting that zero on the line against a very, very tough opponent. Both guys, you know, I don't think there's any doubt. It's a, you know, the best opponent that either guy has faced as a pro. And it's going to be, you know, a great fight for the fans. And if we get five rounds, then, you know, man, I can imagine it's going to be a war.
Well, our next question, it sort of relates to when worlds collide, but it also relates to the UFC. Rumors swirled last week that the UFC had reached out to Jamie Pickett about fighting for them on short notice. Firstly, how do you think Jamie would do on the international stage, and how difficult is it to promote regional shows when your best fighters could potentially be plucked away from you at a moment's notice?
I think Jamie's a guy that can do just fine on an international stage. He's a very athletic, very talented guy that has already fought some very, very tough opposition, and he's confident in his abilities and trains with some great world-class athletes, and I think he'd do just fine on the best stage of them all. As for how hard is it to promote with people potentially being plucked up for the big show, you know, in my opinion, it's a privilege to be able to promote anyone that is that close to the big show anyway. So ultimately, that's what we want. We want these guys to make it to the UFC. So if a guy gets plucked off a card to go to the UFC, then, you know, good for him, and we're happy for them.
Well, as of now, we have Jamie Pickett secured for when worlds collide to take on Doug Usher. That will be a rematch, and there was plenty of heat in that first one, so very excited for it. Our sixth and final question, who has the most to gain at your upcoming event?
Oh, you know, I think the guy's in the main event, really. You know, either whoever wins is going to have that pro title and will have a pretty bright feather in their cap as to a strength of competition, you know, a strong, solid win over a guy that is also a top prospect instead of, you know, just a kind of a feeder builder fight. You know, it's going to be a quality win. Those guys, in my opinion, have the most to gain. With the second probably being Doug Usher, you know, with the rematch against Pickett, who is obviously on the UFC's radar right now, he could knock him off and steal that thunder.
Well, great answer. And that rounds out this week's Q&A segment. Thanks for your insight, as always, Tim. And listeners, remember, email us your questions each week, and Valor Fights President Tim Loy will address them. Now, without further ado, it is time for the interviews. We are joined by Jared Williams, matchmaker for Conflict MMA. Of course, he's going to be a big part of Worlds Collide as Conflict MMA takes on Valor Fights. But he is here tonight with a little breaking news for us. Jared, what's going on, man?
Yeah, man, it's exciting times. It seems like you said, matchmake for Conflict. We just had a big event that you guys covered last weekend in Columbia, South Carolina. Tim and I get to coordinate on this one coming up in 2 weeks, and then tonight I get a phone call from a fighter and friend of mine, and Jamie Pickett, and it looks like he has been picked up by the new contender series of Dana White's holding out in Vegas. And he asked me to come out there and corner with a couple of his buddies. So get that opportunity, and definitely going to head out there and help someone and you know, in need on short notice. So we fly out, and again, they fight on Tuesday on UFC Fight Pass, and he fights Charles Kid Dynamite Bird. So it should be a great fight. You know, both guys are super athletic. Jamie's got a little bit of size on him fighting at 185, and Bird's coming up from 170. But we like it. I'm totally excited.
Yeah, that's an action fight, I think, for sure. Bird, definitely a guy that, if you've kept up with Legacy over the years, that's a guy that they've used a lot. But I think it's a great matchup for Jamie, man. I think he's the more skilled of the two, for sure. Bird's definitely tough. He's been in there with some very solid guys, but I think it's definitely a great opportunity for Jamie. How does this leave him for the July 22nd event versus Usher?
So he's still game for both, and that's one reason why, you know, when he and I spoke about this fight with Doug, he asked me for a UFC clause, which this is kind of always been the norm of guys who are higher record and looking for that shot. They sometimes they ask for it when maybe the opportunity really isn't there, but with Jamie being a teammate of multiple guys who are kind of on the radar, plus Derek Brunson, who's in the UFC, is a teammate of his. So he's got a lot of the right people kind of pushing his name. I told him, I said, man, I don't think you're going to find any good promotion that's going to hold a guy back from continuing to move up in their career. So that's where he is right now, man. He's in for both fights. He's always been that kind of guy anyways. It's nothing to see him jumping in and out of fights like that. And so I think I'm with you, man. I like the fight for Jamie on paper. He's the bigger guy. He's an athletic guy, so he's taller. He's got more weight. And then I think Bird's got some holes that Jamie happens to do. He actually cleans those holes up really well.
Yeah, I think that's one thing that we definitely agree on. You know, we both of us want to see, you know, our guys get that opportunity to shine on the big stage, and certainly willing to, you know, to take a back seat when those guys get those kind of opportunities. So, you know, definitely kudos there.
Jared, yeah, for him to come. Oh, yeah, go ahead, please.
No, I was going to say, no, go right ahead. I was going to ask you when you're getting to Vegas, because I didn't know if you realized that Tim and the whole crew are going to be there already.
Yeah, so I didn't, and then it dawned on me when Tim messaged me tonight, and we were talking. He's like, "Oh man," he's like, "I'm going to be in Vegas on Saturday," and it didn't even click that Andrew had told me this earlier as well. And it just dawned on me that I'm going to be in Vegas on Saturday now too. So
Vegas yeah, so, ain't ready.
Vegas ain't ready.
Mark, are you flying out there, dude?
Man, that is yet to be determined, but. My feelings lead towards yes. My body says no, but My heart's kind of saying yes.
Wow. Alan's considering it.
Yes.
I'm completely out. I'm still not changing my mind. Are you kidding me?
The voice of rationale right there.
I'm pumped to get to see Jared out there, but I'm still a little disappointed in how this 213 card has just went to shit.
Oh, yeah, dude. I mean, that's devastating. To lose Dillashaw and it's just the whole card. I mean, when I saw Cerrone off, I was like, man, this is going to be a tough sell, even for my wife. So,
well, really quick, Jared, any other news, anything going on? I know you're in a hurry, sort of a hurry tonight. This was very impromptu. We did want to get you on to make that announcement. It is a very big deal. You know, anything else that we need to know, go ahead and give some social media plugs if you want to, and then we'll let you be on your way.
Oh, most definitely, man. And like I said, 2 weeks, a little bit more than 2 weeks now, we're heading to Rome. Great fight card there with Kobe Wall and Luis Pena. Doug Husher versus Jamie Pickett, who's about to fight for the Contender Series, like I said, next Tuesday. And it's just a stacked lineup, man, of Valor guys and Conflict guys and all of us coming together kind of to crush heads and then get back to game on as usual, you know, with you guys covering Tennessee and the Kentucky side and us doing the Georgia, South Carolina, North Carolina side. And so we'll lead right from Rome. 2 weeks later, we'll hit Augusta, Georgia, and we'll be announcing that fight card this week. We're about 10 fights in now, so it's shaping up to be another real nice one. And that'll be Conflict 45, I believe. So that's about it, man. We're just excited that we get to see another guy get an opportunity, whether it be for a televised, just a regular televised fight, or you know, a Bellator UFC type of opportunity. And so excited for Jamie and shoot, what that could even mean for Doug. You know, if Jamie turns around, picks up a win, and then Doug turns around and beats Jamie. I mean, you know, you got to love all of those, all of the plot for that for these guys.
All right. Well, we have been joined by matchmaker extraordinaire, Conflict MMA's Jared Williams. Jared, thank you so much, and have a great time in Vegas.
Thanks, guys. I'll see you out there, Tim.
All right. Later, brother.
We are joined by Dustin Long, the veteran professional MMA fighter. But this weekend, he puts on another hat as promoter of Strike Fest. And it goes down Friday night, July 7th at the Carver Recreation Center. Dustin, thanks so much for joining us.
What's going on? What's going on? Thank you for having me.
Yeah, so
I was going to say, before we get into this card this weekend, just so people can kind of get up to date with you, Dustin had, some major shoulder surgery here not too long ago, a few weeks back. If you want to kind of catch the listeners up on to, you know, how you're healing up and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, it's going good. I still can't train or nothing. It'll be some months before I can train, but I can at least sleep on it a little bit. It was to the point where I couldn't even sleep for about 2-3 weeks after surgery, but it's healing up pretty good. I should be back in there in a couple months.
We'll talk a little bit about the preparation for this show, being a promoter. Now, this is not your first show. You've done other events, but this one's a really big deal. This is professional mixed martial arts, professional boxing. The Strikefest show is the paramount of what you've done as a promoter. Talk about it, the tolls of this business.
I mean, it's really something I wanted to do even before I got hurt. I've always wanted to have a show that was kickboxing or Muay Thai or whatever, boxing and MMA, because really it's three different crowds. You know, I got some dudes that like boxing, don't like MMA or vice versa, or some people like kickboxing. So I figured, you know, you could reach out to basically three different crowds. The promoting's going like every other show. It's got its ups and downs or whatever, people getting hurt or pulling or whatever, but that's just part of it. I'd say the hardest thing is all my boys training and me not able to help them. You know, I can't even hold mitts or nothing like that. I can't run with them. I can't, you know, so I'm in there with them, but I'm basically just watching them. So that's really the hardest part of it. The promoting is just kind of stressful or whatever, you know, just the staying on people and having stuff change and cards. The poster that we had, I don't think there's maybe one or two fights off that poster, and this, you know, so I give Tim props because he does it all the time. I always used to wonder why he got so stressed, but nah.
Exactly. Well, now my asshole personality, probably you can figure out why that is. But you know, actually, you know, I'm proud of you, man. You're doing a good job here. You're doing with as many hiccups as this fight card has had, you have rolled with the punches, I must say. And we've still got a pretty impressive card this weekend, you know. And at the end of the day, we still have what you promised. We're going to have MMA, Muay Thai kickboxing, and boxing all in the same ring and the same night. So, you know, it's cool. At the end of the day, you're making a little bit of history here. You're going to be the first promotion, to my knowledge, to pull that off.
For sure.
Yeah, that's the cool thing. Better to be the first. I want to be the first one to do it. But another thing is, you know, the guys that at the gym or whatever, you know, it's which, you know, Tim takes care of all the fighters and then 50-50 fights. But like the local fighters, they train their ass off or whatever, you know, so they want to fight, and they may not get on this card or may not get on the next card, you know. So that's why I try to make sure that, you know, to at least reach out to all the local fighters to see if they want to fight, you know, to either progress their career or maybe get up sponsors or just work on their overall game or whatever. And another thing, you know, getting the pros on there, like, you know, Mike's wanting to turn pro boxing. Charlie's had a layoff and he's getting back into it. I think, you know, if nobody's ever seen Charlie or Blatant box, they can go. They're probably the two most accomplished amateur fighters to come out of here other than Brad. But I mean, they can really go. So I was really excited about seeing Blatant. You know, it's sucks that his fight ain't happening, but I'm sure there's a good reason. You know, Damian really, he's fought everybody. He ain't scared of nobody, so it had to be a pretty good reason. But still got Charlie fighting and Mike fighting and all the guys from the gym. Some I think we got grappling from Team Ox and guys from Bushido. So, you know, still some people ready to bang Friday. So, and like I said, it should be all three sports. So I'm excited about it.
Well, you know, the majority of our listeners, I'm sure, are more ingrained in the MMA scene. You know, what can they expect out of these other type bouts, you know, beyond the MMA? You know, we've got two pro boxing bouts with Big Mike Thomas, who is no stranger to us on the MMA scene, making his pro boxing debut against a guy, Rico Ralston, who's already had 8 pro MMA fights, but is also making his pro boxing debut. And then, of course, as you mentioned earlier, Charlie Watson. You know, what can we kind of expect out of these guys? Because a lot of our fans that listen here will not be familiar with the boxing scene. So, you know, talk a little bit about those matchups and you know, why people should be excited, you know, to see those pro fights.
Well, Mike's going to entertain. It don't matter if he's fishing or doing MMA or washing a car. It don't matter what the hell Big Mike does. He's going to be entertaining while he does it. That's just him or whatever. But him and that Rico, I've seen Rico fight a couple times, not live, but on YouTube stuff, MMA. And I mean, he looks real athletic, and that should be a pretty good fight. You know, there's sometimes, you know, people get to just totally, completely overmatched or outclassed or whatever. And I mean, that's just not me talking, trying to get people to come out and see it. I really think that Mike and Charlie both have tough opponents. Now, I don't think that the guy can actually stand there and box with Charlie. But watching him fight, I don't think he's coming into planning on losing. You know, he's probably going to come straight at Charlie and try to knock his head off his shoulder. But like you said about the three sports, I think that everybody compares this sport to that sport, and I think all that's just stupid. It's all, I mean, if you like MMA, how can you not like boxing, vice versa? It's all one-on-one.
You're pulling for Conor, right?
Fighting. No, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Ain't no way in hell. I look, now I'm an MMA fighter, but y'all gonna start a whole nother. We're gonna have to have 2 hours on this damn thing.
I'm just wondering, bro. It seemed to me like you were leaning that way, like, you know.
I ain't never leaned that way. Ain't no way in hell. Only an idiot believe it. And I would like to think, okay, not that I've done a lot in any sport, but I feel like I can give an honest opinion. That's being a professional MMA fighter and a professional boxer. You know, I've actually done both. I train with them. I've trained with the best boxers around here. There's no way, you know, like you put, for instance, Brad and Adam. You put him in a boxing ring, Adam's not going to touch him. You know, and you put him in an MMA ring, and he's going to break Brad's neck. I mean, it's two totally different sports. But, you know, I think it's a show. It's damn sure going to draw a crowd. I think the pre-fight hype is going to be a hell of a lot more interesting than the fight. I think the fight's going to be interesting because, for one, everybody's like, well, Conor can rush him and make it interesting, da-da-da-da-da-da. That's not how Conor fights. Conor's a counterpuncher. So whenever you put him in there with Floyd, who is probably the best counterpuncher of all time, this is going to be a boring-ass, one-sided beating. I mean, he'll probably hit Conor 10 times around. Conor won't hit him none. He'll win 12 to none. Floyd will ride off with $200 million. Conor will ride off with $100 million. And I think the only bad thing about the fight is Conor ain't going to fight MMA no more after this. Why would he go back to risking getting his head split open with an elbow for $2 million? When he just fucking played powder puff with Floyd for $100 million. You know what I'm saying?
Thank you for the tease.
It ain't like Floyd's going to hurt him. Yep. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? I'm going to take this $100 million.
Why would he do anything but sit out on the beach for the rest of his life? with
why would he?
He'd
be an idiot.
You know?
to go in there with somebody like, you know, to get $5 million and go wrestle with Khabib? He'd be an idiot. You know what I'm saying? That dude might break his damn neck. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? And I mean, Floyd is my favorite fighter. Y'all know that. But let's be honest. Floyd's not going to hurt him. You know what I'm saying? He's not a power puncher. He's going to hit him about 200 times in the face. But Conor may leave with a black eye and $1 million. I'd fight Floyd tonight on my knees for $1 million. You know what I'm saying? With no gloves. But I think it's... I don't know. I mean, it makes money, so I guess it makes sense to them. You know.
Well, back to strike.
I think Dana's the only one that loses.
back to strike. Yeah, you're probably, right.
The hell with him.
Sure. Yeah, right. Back to Strike Fest. You know, we talked about the pros. What's one of the amateur fights that is on the card that you would say is kind of a sleeper, something that is maybe not getting the attention that it should, but is definitely going to deliver?
I think Andre and Shaw. I think Andre is going to come out throwing huge, hard right hands as hard as he can, and Shaw's going to be looking to kick his head off his shoulder. So I think somebody's probably going to go to sleep in that fight.
Shaw definitely going to go for a
takedown. I don't think Andre is going to go for a takedown, but I'd say somebody's probably. I'd probably bet 2-1 somebody's going to get knocked out in that fight. It won't go to.
I can see it.
No submission or nothing like that.
Shop's definitely a heavy hitter.
Yeah,
he's a heavy hitter, but he's also got a lot. He's got that judo background. I've known a lot of guys that have worked out with him on the judo mats, and they said he's very intense there. He has very, very crazy takedowns. He's very athletic in that way and dangerous. Now, let me ask you this. I wanted to talk about the other star on the MMA side. And it's none of the people, but rather the ring itself. Now, I don't know if you guys know this or whatever, but you know, I had some MMA. I'm getting ready to turn 40 next week, but I had some MMA fights way back in the day, and all of them were inside the ring. And it's because, you know, back in the day, you really couldn't come across a cage. They were few and far between. So they were having a lot of the shows, you know, they were already boxing or kickboxing promoters, and they were holding the mixed martial arts in there. So this is a return to that. It's a retro effect, and there are some changes, some differences. Obviously, the cage contains the fight a little bit more. It holds the fighters in place. With the ring, you get to see a little bit more of the pure game of MMA, meaning if the fighters get underneath the ropes and so forth, they can be pulled out to the center as opposed to just letting the fight goes on. And that, of course, forces the fighters to have to play out a different way. Have you taken into consideration how the MMA fights are kind of going to play out as opposed to when we normally see them inside a cage?
Well, I mean, the ring has been up. They've been working in the ring for the past little bit, so I think it's going to be more of a stand-up fight, to be honest with you, like that, hence the name Strike Fest or whatever. I just feel like, you know, in a cage, you can shoot and drive them into the cage or whatever, you know, like you may keep pushing and pushing and pushing, and both of y'all fall outside of the ring, they're just going to stand you back up in the ring. You know what I mean? You can't really just sit there and hold somebody on the cage the same way that you can in a cage.
Can you use the ropes to choke somebody with?
Mark,
there's no doubt.
I guess it's a rope. If the ref don't see it.
Mark, I saw Andre the Giant do it. I saw Andre the Giant do it a lot of times when I was growing up. So I know they.
I thought I'd seen it somewhere. I was just confirming
that. A lot of the guys that I've. I mean, a lot of guys that I've trained with, they prefer, or not necessarily that I've trained with, just talk to, or Doug Usher, for instance. I mean, he's you always laughing, but what's wrong with you? They prefer pride fights.
Yeah.
Better than UFC. You know, of course, it could be because you could kick in the face. I don't think nobody's going to be kicking a ground opponent in the face Friday, but
he wants to kick some ground opponent in the face. Trust
it's
me.
Just, yeah, he probably does, but we ain't having none of that Friday. Insurance purposes.
That's what I'm there for.
I mean, that, you know, so I mean, it, fighters may like it more, they may not, but, you know, I feel like it's a totally different fight, if you ask me. I'd love to fight in the ring. If my arm wasn't over here in a sling, I'd definitely be on the court. But
yeah, it's definitely it a change. And like I said, it's very much a return to that retro feel back in the early 2000s when most of the fights that were taking place were inside the ring. So for me personally, it's a little bit of nostalgia and very exciting. And like you mentioned, it kind of takes you back to the Pride days as well. So we're excited for it. Dustin, real quick, I'm going to give you the opportunity to give some shout-outs where they are due, sponsors and so forth for StrikeFest. And, of course, the social media, all your social media plugs, where we can find you and follow you.
Well, Dustin Long on Instagram, Facebook. You put me on the spot with the sponsors. Let me get them. I'd like to thank OEB, 5050, Dr. Cannon, Sprint, Intimate Treasures. They gave us a bag full of stuff. That was actually pretty cool.
I bet.
Double Time Delivery, Power Ciders, my boy Brandon and Todd. Tim and Casey for everything they've done. All the schools and gyms around this participating in the show. Just anybody who supported it, or just everybody. Mark, gotta shout him out. You know, he'll send me a text here in a minute crying if I don't say his name. So Mark Law.
You know what? I was gonna
a big
say.
Shout out to Mark Law. Yeah.
Don't even get me started, bro.
He'll laugh. I'm gonna say it one more time. Big shout out to Mark Law.
We were meeting over there at 50-50 earlier today, and I looked up at you, and I was looking at your forehead, and I was like, man, I remember when your head was split completely open. And I was looking at there, and I was like, man, that scar's healed up really good. And I was thinking, did you put some cocoa butter on it or something like that to help it to heal? And then I realized it was all Mark Laws. And
he came in there, rubbed his hands together, snapped his fingers, and clicked his heels, and we fixed it. Hell, I got the win.
You won the fight though, didn't you?
No, you get damn straight. But you know you get sympathy when you got wounds like that. I walked around with two weeks with stitches in my head, and I had a little piece of meat hanging out, looked like a nipple. But everybody was giving me hugs and, "Oh, are you okay?" So you know you
people
get
take care of you.
So,
yeah.
Yeah,
that's taking care of your fighters right there, bud.
Very cool.
Yeah, it wasn't completely bad.
Well, it's Dustin.
So again, so I don't get a.
Go ahead. Oh, I was going to outro you.
No, go
if
ahead.
You've got more to talk about, let's keep talking.
He was still talking about me, I think.
I see how you do. Yeah, I was going to say his name one more time, so I didn't get a text. One more time, Mark Law. Everybody give it up for him.
Mark Law.
What else have I done this week, Dustin?
Yeah, he will be at the fights Friday. So everybody come. Get your autograph.
Are you taking me to Vegas Saturday? Are we going
we'll
to Vegas
about
Saturday?
That off the air. Y'all call me off the air and we'll talk about that. I got people
very
listening.
Cool. Everyone join Dustin Long this Friday night, July 7th, for StrikeFest. It goes down at the Carver Recreation Center in Johnson City, Tennessee, and it makes history as the very first boxing, kickboxing, and mixed martial arts event in the ring here in the Tri-Cities. Dustin, thanks so much for joining us.
All right, I appreciate you. Thanks for having me.
We are joined by Mike Thomas. We know him as Big Mike, and he is a veteran MMA fighter. We've seen him at 50-50 Fight Night and also at UMAF Nationals. But this weekend, he makes his pro boxing debut at StrikeFest against Rico Ralston. Mike, thanks so much for joining us.
What's going on with y'all? It's a pleasure.
Not a whole lot, man. I saw it was your birthday, man. Happy birthday. I guess it was yesterday.
No, it's today.
It's
Thank
today.
You.
All right. Well, happy birthday.
He's still got an hour and 40 minutes left of his birthday, Casey. Don't try to rob him of that.
I got you. Okay, fair enough. I was telling them, my birthday is on the 11th, and I'll be 40. I'm doing my big 40th, man. So I'm getting in my, all my fun, because this is the last week I'm going to be 30-something. So it's really big. But, man, big fight this weekend. It is your pro boxing debut. Now, I've known you for years. You had, countless amateur boxing matches. And then we've seen you in mixed martial arts action most recently. But this is really going back to your roots. Talk about it.
Man, I can't wait. Yeah, this is going back to my roots. Boxing is what I love. MMA is okay, but I love boxing, but I'll fight anywhere, anytime, any place. But Ralston, I believe it's his debut too. He looks like he's in shape, but it really ain't going to matter. You know what I'm saying? We just got to see once we both get in there. I don't have to talk trash to him. You know what I'm saying? He's cool. He ain't like Brock. What's up, Brock? But anyway, so I'm just going to go out there and have fun. You know me. I just want to put on the show always. And that's what I plan to do and walk out with the W.
Well, I got to say, you're one of the more entertaining fighters that we see in the region, always looking to put on a show, very animated and looking to, looking to bang, looking to put on exciting fights. And so I know that this will be an exciting one this weekend. Ralston's a guy that is, he's an athletic guy. He's a pro MMA fighter with 8 MMA pro bouts. But like yourself, he's making his boxing debut. Have you watched any of his MMA fights? Have you kind of checked up just to see if there's anything to, kind of go by? And is he more of a striker? Is he more of a grappler when he does MMA, or have you even looked into that at all?
Yes, I've looked at it, but looking at it, I mean, that's all I did. I mean, because boxing is it's another world. He's going to find that out. It's a whole other world. He moves a lot, but just like I said, boxing is another world. I'm going to cut him off. I'm going to do what I do. Put on the show, Should probably put him away. But he is tough. I'm not overlooking him or selling him short or taking him, lightly, because, dude, he's in shape. He's in shape. He moves from the time he gets in there until that bell rings at the end of it. So I'm going to have to be on my game. I got to put pressure on him, just cut him off.
And, this fight only being, in boxing, when you guys get starting, the fights are only 4 rounds. So you don't have a whole lot of time to get him out of there. It's only 12 minutes of fighting, which is not as long as a pro MMA fight. Do you feel like you have to kind of, do you feel like any pressure to put him away, or do you feel like the main thing is going out there and getting a win, no matter what the method?
Just going out there and getting a win. Yeah, because in boxing, you can't look for a knockout because you'll get knocked out. Just like with MMA, you just got to go in there and do what you've been doing in training camp and stick to your game plan and shoot and then win. I don't say hope for the best because I'm trying to win.
What do you think going into the fight is your biggest advantage? Of course, we've watched you. You're great. Firstly, you're very durable. It's hard to hurt you, especially to your head. You take a really good punch to the head. And you seem to put a lot of pressure. You can go inside. You can go up top too. What do you think, as far as your game, sets you apart and is going to make you the winner this weekend?
I've boxed just about my whole life. Case, I've been boxing for just about 20 years, and I'm just 38 years old today. I've got a whole lot of experience. And I've been in there with the best. I don't spar nobody but champions. Roy King, Robert, Brad, and it goes on, Blayton, Dustin, Avius. The list goes on. I mean, it's just everybody, man. I mean, I just got so much experience. It's in my favor. You know what I'm saying? If anybody will pick this fight, they'll make him the underdog. So there's a little bit of pressure there, but you know me, I love to put on the show, and that's what I do. I'm the star. It's time for me to shine. That's the only thing I got to say about it.
Well, we've also got Alan Poole on the line here. And Alan, you've watched Mike really firsthand in a lot of these matchups very recently. And now you're going to see him in boxing competition. But do you have any questions for him, from your perspective?
Yeah, from my perspective, I've been, I mean, I know that, I know Big Mike, he can throw the hands, man. He can throw them hands, right? If I can say it like Big Mike does, you know, I throw them hands. But, man, he can. You can tell, like, you know, he would rather be on his feet. He's more comfortable boxing, and he's smooth. I mean, he's relaxed, and, man, how long do you think it'll take you, Big Mike, before you check that chin? How many minutes?
About 30 seconds in, he's going to feel it. He's going to feel it because I'm going to walk him down. He's going to feel it.
Like you said, like, it's a whole different world in boxing, as you know, everybody knows. When you're only throwing hands, man, it's different. And if you're, you know, classically trained is what I will call it, under Vance, right? I would not be comfortable standing in front of Big Mike with boxing gloves on. I can tell you that.
I appreciate that.
Well, real quick, Mike, I'm going to give you the opportunity to give your shout-outs, all the love, and so forth, as well as all of your social media plugs. We got to be able to find you, especially this weekend.
Okay, go on Facebook, you know what I'm saying? It's under my name, Mike Thomas. You'll see me, as always, with the Stunning Shades. And I want to give a shout-out to D3, to Bang Bang, everybody that's in there. It's too many names to name. And everybody just come out. I still have tickets, too. So, you know what I'm saying? They're selling them for $30, but I'll give them to you for $25. I don't even want my cut. I just want y'all to come and see me put on the show and perform like I always do. Because it's showtime. Finally, I get the box. Finally. So, everybody just come out and watch your boy shine. You might even see an Ali Shuffler, too.
Oh, my.
Mike Thomas returns to the ring in his professional boxing debut this Friday night, June 7th at Strikefest in Johnson City, Tennessee at the Carver Recreation Center. He faces Rico Ralston, and it will be a night to remember. Mike, thanks so much for joining us.
Y'all welcome. It's been a pleasure.
We are joined by Kobe the Great Wall, 4-0 professional mixed martial arts fighter. And he prepares to headline Worlds Collide Conflict MMA versus Valor Fights July 22nd in Rome, Georgia, against Luis Pena. Kobe, thanks so much for joining us.
What's up, guys? Y'all doing all
right? Man, doing great, bro. Excited for this huge card. You know, we've had a lot of stuff kind of in between for, you know, we had your pro boxing debut. We've had some cards in between, but now it's time, you know, we can kind of buckle down on this thing and really start to gear up for July 22nd. It's definitely exciting, man.
Yeah, I'm stoked, man. It's going to be a good card. It's going to be a good fight. I'm ready, man. It's going to be fun.
So moving out of conflict, we hung out there, of course, the night before you competed. Then we got on the microphone together, and we were able to call a lot of the action. You were the third man on there. We had a lot of fun there. So talk about what has happened since then. You've had to shift gears from boxing back into mixed martial arts. How is your training going?
Man, training's going good. Still doing the same thing, just not focusing on my stand-up quite as much, but you know, we're still grinding hard every day, getting some good time in. Spent some time in Dublin, Ireland with Conor McGregor's team. I got some time in with his head Muay Thai coach and some of the guys over there. Phenomenal experience, man. Learned some really clean, crazy stuff those guys show. But that was a really, really unique experience.
So Alan was kind of aghast at when I think he got a little starstruck. Now, one more time for him. Who were you training with again?
So Conor McGregor's teammates, friends, coaches. The team, Conor.
That's awesome, man. That's cool. Definitely taking this one seriously, and I think it's going to be a really good one. It's crazy because it's the first time that either one of you all had fought for Valor in March, and just I became a huge fan of both you guys. It's you know, we've come across a lot of fighters and doing so many events, and it's, you know, it's rare that I jive so well with both guys, and I'm just a real big fan of both you dudes. I think it's going to be you know, a major step up for both of you all. You know, whoever gets this one is definitely going to, you know, have a hard fought war on their hands. And, you know, I'm just excited to strap that pro title around one of you guys' waist, man, and hopefully it be something that opens some eyes and moves one of you all to the big show.
Yeah, man, like I said, it's going to be fun. I'm excited to just get in there and just do what I've trained, man. I know he's a tough kid, and absolutely no disrespect to him. You know, I know he takes that stuff very seriously. It's a fight, man. It's literally a fight. Some people play baseball. Some people play football. We fight, and we're going to go in there, and we're going to fight, and we're going to leave it all in there. And I'm just ready, man. I don't even know what to say. I'm stoked. It's going to be a hell of a war. I'm ready to get into a scrapping battle, the boxing fight. You guys were there. It was one of those things where, you know, I got my hands a little dirty and got caught with a punch or two, and it kind of shows me a little more on what I can do and what I can take. So it's going to be fun.
Talk a little bit. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
So I had a question for you, Kobe. So I've always been interested in – so you went MMA before you started training boxing, right?
Yeah, well, when I started a long time ago, we really started in MMA. And I know MMA is a combination of a lot of sports. But, you know, when I started, I kind of started doing everything. Jiu-jitsu, Muay Thai, a little bit of boxing, some wrestling, you know, judo. We kind of had everything.
When you started focusing on boxing
there, – Savannah, we did it all. So,
okay, I got kind of a nerdy MMA question. So when you started boxing, right, or when you started focusing, you know, primarily boxing for this match, right? I mean, I'm not saying you weren't training MMA, but like when you started doing that, like, did you like grow leaps and bounds with your hands, or is it still kind of like murky that you can't transfer some of boxing over to MMA?
You know, you can always, well, I won't say you can always transfer it, but the good guys can transfer it. Nate Diaz, some of those guys that train a lot of boxing, they can transfer it for multiple reasons. They're tough as hell, A, and B, they have the mind for it. Now, no, they may not be the smartest individuals on the planet, and I actually like Nate and Nick, but they can transition it when it comes to fighting. So yeah, there are things that can be transitioned, and yes, I've learned to do both, but I still like the kick and I still like the knee. And even in my fight, there was one time when I caught myself almost wanting to blast the knee out there. but yeah, it's growing on me. I like boxing, and I want to get dirty a little more. But you know, if you take that into consideration too much with MMA, you're going to get taken down. And with a guy like, you know, Luis Pena, that's a two-time state champion, it's just not a good idea to go out there and try to solely box the kid. Because he will put you on your ass and he will keep you there if you're not careful. So just boxing with him, it would not be a smart move. If that answers the question.
Yeah. Alan. Well, no, I just wanted to know how much you're able to pull from just purely boxing back over to MMA, because what's his code?
Essentially, I think he's trying to say, like, has preparing for this like straight boxing match really like improved your hands for MMA?
Yeah, thank you.
You know, it's helped me with head movement. It's helped me with using certain punches at certain times rather than, you know, just trying to go out there and get punched drunk. A lot of guys just want to go out there and sling hands when it's a little deeper to that with boxing. It's more methodical. It's, you know, if I jab here, what does he do? If I double jab there, what does he do? If I throw a stiff jab when he comes in, what does he do? It's more of a methodical kind of thing. So yeah, it's helped a lot. But like I said, you can't just box.
Oh, yeah, no, I don't think that at all. I know that the MMA fighter is going to take a boxer, as long as he doesn't get clipped going in, he's going to take a boxer, slam him down, and jiu-jitsu him or do whatever he wants to him, basically.
I mean, that's why I like this fight so much, is both of you guys are really well-rounded. Both of y'all have pro boxing, both of you guys have good wrestling, but both of you have good submissions, and I think it's a solid matchup, and, you know, one of you guys is going to take their first pro loss – And both of you guys are highly touted prospects. So, you know, either one of you all would be very deserving.
Somebody's O's got to go.
I think it's even deeper than that in a lot of ways, meaning there are a lot of similarities between these two fighters. Kobe, you're 4-0. He's 3-0. Of course, both of you guys have recently been competing in pure boxing. And then also, you guys are sort of built the same. You're long, lanky. You're sort of like the build for that future prototype of a mixed martial arts fighter. You're seeing a lot of those fighters built that way. And so you guys are going to face off. It makes it extremely entertaining. Now, if you had to pick and take a guess, where do you think a majority of this fight will be contested, and how, by what means will it take you to gain victory?
Man, you're trying to pull too many secrets out, man. It's too early for me to give all the secrets up. I'll tell you this. I'll tell you, I know where the fight's going to go, but I'm not going to tell you.
Okay.
Because there's obviously other people listening. I think it's going to be both, man. I think it's going to be a fight it's obviously going to start standing, and at some point it's going to go to the ground. I can't tell you it's going to be standing more than on the fight he's had that we can find. I've got some very high-level guys that have looked at the film, and we've got a good game plan, man. We're going to go out there, and we're going to do what we're supposed to do, and win, lose, or draw is going to be a hell of a fight. We're going to put on a killer show for the fans. We're going to take home some good paychecks. And life is going to go on. But I'll tell you, I'm coming for that title. I'm coming for what belongs to me. And that's going to be that. You know, I'm not sure who the refs are going to be, but I hope he can, you know, sneak a baseball bat past the referees, because that's what it's going to take to put me away, is a fucking club upside the head with a baseball bat.
Very cool. Kobe, real quick, let's give your shout outs. Let's see, you know, your social media. Let's give all of those shout outs. And then also anything new that, you know, about Kobe Wall that you need to get out there to our listeners, because, man, you are headlining the event. This is going to be one hell of a show.
Yeah, man. Like I said, it's going to be a good fight. That's one of the things, my dad here at Broadway Jiu Jitsu, Professor John Red Velvet Clark, UFC vet. He's Gracie Belton. He's been helping me tons. Kyle Bochniak in the UFC. He's got a fight the same night for me, the same night as me in the UFC. So good luck to him. Me and him have been getting a lot of good time in together. You know, all my sponsors, man. Down to Earth Landscape and Irrigation. Russ Cassidy, man, thank you so much for what you do. Twin City Precision Metals, Alex Mosley and his family, man, they've always been there in support of me. Amy Roney, Insure Crops Enterprises, Tires for Hire, Robert, man, thanks so much. Andrew Stokes, Jared Williams, let's see here, Neighborhood Tap House, and what's the other one? Charleston Fit and MMA. and Breckenridge, man, thanks so much. He gives me a spot to train and drink on my non-camp layovers in Charleston. Josh Collins, Heating and Air, Poor Larry's in Savannah, Shark Repair, Alan and Joy Lang over in Charleston. You guys, man, thank y'all for helping me out and getting me a good fight on a good platform that we can go out and show our skills and show what we're made of. And hopefully Uncle Dana will give us a call, man. We're so close. Thank you guys so much.
Kobe Wall headlines Worlds Collide. That's Conflict MMA versus Valor Fights July 22nd. Get your tickets now and don't miss this amazing event. Kobe, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks, guys. Talk soon now.
We are joined by Luis Pena. He is a 3-0 professional mixed martial artist, and he prepares to headline Worlds Collide. Conflict MMA versus Valor Fights July 22nd against Kobe Wall. And he is here with us tonight. Luis, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, no problem, Casey. I love being on every time you guys have me.
Well, man, of course, the last time we saw you there at Valor Fights, it was picking up a big victory over Damir Fahabegovic, a guy that really, of course, the everyone at Valor Fights had picked Damir to win. You shocked everyone. You got picked up a huge win there, and you move on to headline. This is going to be one heck of a fight. We've already spoken with Kobe earlier, kind of getting his take. Man, I don't know that we could have selected a better matchup. Talk about it.
Man, yeah, this is a great fight. I think it's a really big fight. Kobe brings in a lot of hype, a lot of steam, and a lot of momentum, having never really been beaten, I think, in his MMA career, is that correct? He never lost an amateur.
And, right, he was 4-0 as a professional, and then 12-0 as an amateur.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's you know, it's a really big feat. You know, he's never lost ever. So, hopefully, you know, I'm the first one to make it happen. Yeah, I think it's a great fight. I do think, though, I'm probably the best competition Kobe's ever faced. You know what I mean? Whereas I've had tough fights before. You know, I kind of looked at Kobe's record, and I don't know. It kind of seems like he's not necessarily just been fed his entire career, but it doesn't really seem like he's had that really tough marquee fight yet.
Well, I'll say this. You know, something that's interesting, and I mentioned it to Kobe also, is that there are a lot of parallels between you and him. One being that you are both recently competed in professional boxing. Kobe just made his pro debut last weekend. You guys are built very similar. You know, you're 3-0, he is 4-0. So many parallels. You know, talk about sort of the, you know, your side, your thoughts on those parallels and where you think the fight will tend to go.
Preparing for this fight, I've seen a lot of those same parallels myself and some of my coaches. So, we're just kind of prepared to take this fight wherever it goes, every fight starts on the feet, but wherever it goes, whether it be in the clinch, on the cage or on the ground, we're going to be prepared to fight. I think we match up really well everywhere. I might have a slight advantage on the ground because of my wrestling background. I don't know if Kobe wrestled at all. I know he has a purple belt in jiu-jitsu. I'm really just excited for this fight because Kobe's a really tough guy. He's really good everywhere. And it's one of those fights where, you know, with this being a five-minute round, this could make for like a really, really entertaining, really exciting fight.
Yeah, I think that's what everyone is kind of in the same mindset of, man. Both you guys are so well-rounded and you know, don't want to quit. So I think we're going to get potentially a long, grueling fight, which should be very entertaining for the fans. You know, we talked to Kobe briefly about his boxing. You've been doing some boxing as well. You know, do you feel like that has improved, you know, focusing on boxing matches has improved your striking game for MMA at all? Or is it just two different animals? I know it's very different, sports, of course. But, I know you're kind of a wrestler by trade. Has working your boxing for those boxing matches really, given you some strides, with your hands?
Without a doubt, I can say without a doubt, in the last couple of months, I've noticed my striking has just made some exponential leaps and bounds. And the big thing was, you know, I know Kobe just made his pro boxing debut. I don't really know who he fought, but the two, like I made my pro boxing debut in May, and then I just recently had another boxing match, and I came up short in both fights, but the two guys I fought were both, I think right now they're like combined 17-0.
Oh wow.
And the guy that I fought my debut against after he fought me fought on the undercard of Andre Ward versus Sergey Kovalev too. And Jeez. Then my second boxing match, I went 6 rounds with the dude who at the time was 7-0. And a lot of people thought I got robbed. They thought I won that match, that fight. So, you know, I definitely think, especially from my last fight with Demir, my hands have gotten a lot better. And that was actually something I was really focused on after that fight, was sewing up some of the things that he showed, like some of the holes that he showed me with my hands and on the feet.
Mark, you were there when Luis Pena faced off against Amir Fahadbegovic. I know you are excited about this matchup with Kobe Wall. You know Kobe very well, too. Any questions for Luis?
Well, my main question for Luis is that I know that at the end of the Demir fight, he was very focused on that, just trusting the process of his jiu-jitsu training was what paid off ultimately. And I was just wondering if he was imploring the same mindset for this time, if he's just trusting, even though he has the new trust in his hands, is the jiu-jitsu going to be what reigns supreme?
Most definitely. You know what I'm saying? Like, at the end of the night, the wrestling and jiu-jitsu is what has led to this success that I've had in combat sports. So I'm always going to fall back to not even just what I'm comfortable with, but what I know, best. You know, what's got me here.
Well, real quick, Luis, I'm going to give you the opportunity to give your shout-outs where they are due, your teammates, supporters, all those people, as well as give your social media plugs, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and so forth.
First, I'd love to give a shout-out to all the guys and girls at Arnold Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu and Eagles Boxing Club, where I've been doing most of my work for this fight camp coming up. And I'd love to give a huge shout-out to my manager, Matt Weibel, at First Round Management. Couldn't be doing some of the big moves I've got going on in my career without him. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at YoungMetro501 and on Facebook, Luis the Beast Pena. Like my page and add me on Facebook, Luis Antonio Pena. I appreciate you guys having me out. I can't wait to see you guys in Rome, Georgia, take home that gold.
Luis Pena returns to the cage on July 22nd. For Worlds Collide Conflict MMA versus Valor Fights. Of course, he headlines that big event against Kobe Wall. Luis, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
No problem. Thank you guys for having me.
It is main event time on the Valor Hour, which means the official preview of Strikefest this Friday night. That's July 7th. At the Carver Recreation Center in Johnson City, Tennessee. Guys, this one is going to be very special. We already spoke with Big Mike and with Dustin Long. And this one's going to be the first time we see kickboxing, boxing, and mixed martial arts all in one place here. Maybe, quite possibly, in the state of Tennessee. What do you guys think about this?
I'm pretty positive it's the first time it's happened in Tennessee, for sure. With you know all three sports in the same ring, and that's what Dustin wanted to bring to the table, and by hook or by crook, we've got that.
All right, well, let's go ahead and get started with it, and we'll start at the bottom of the list, and you know these guys very well, very closely involved in this matchmaking process. Our first bout brought to you by Double Time Delivery. It is a lightweight matchup. Contested at 155 pounds, and it is a submission grappling match. It's Logan Scott out of National Martial Arts in Oak Ridge, Tennessee, taking on Tanner Napier out of Bushido MMA in Kingsport, Tennessee. Tim, talk about this matchup.
You know, it's hard to say. These are two juniors. These are teenagers that are they're going to be doing their first submission grappling match, to my knowledge. I know Logan Scott's teammates with National have been competing with kickboxing with us here in the past few events. And Dustin Koppel has assembled a pretty decent little squad of juniors over there. I think he's got like 3, 4, 5 teenagers right in that realm from 35 to 45, which is good for their training. I don't know anything about Napier either, really, from Bushido. I think it's two teams that are very similar level. And, man, I don't know. Flip a coin.
Yeah, guys, Mark and Alan, what do you think about this?
Man, I kind of feel the same way. I'm just going to say flip a coin.
I have a beef with Cody Jordan right now, so I'm going to get all National guys. So go with Napier.
All right. Well, moving on. Bout number two brought to you by Power Siders Plus. To catch weight contested at 150 pounds, Dylan Smith, 1-1 out of Elite Grappling in Lebanon, Virginia, taking on Aaron Phillips, 1-3 out of D3 Elite, Johnson City, Tennessee. Two guys we've seen recently on 50-50 Fight Night. Tim.
Yeah, you know, this is a pretty interesting one because, you know, Dylan is coming off of a win over Paulo Chino, who's a tough kid. But, you know, Aaron Phillips is just a juggernaut of a fighter. He comes forward. He's tough. He's strong. He has fallen victim to submissions, though. And Dylan Smith coming from a grappling team, that's what makes it kind of an interesting fight, because I think Dylan is probably best at what Aaron is weakest at. But Aaron is such a physical, imposing guy that, you know, I don't think he's going to kind of turtle up like Paulo Chino did. And so it's interesting. I don't know, man. It's another one where, you know, again, I feel like, you know, one guy's strength is the other guy's weakness, but the other guy is just so physical.
Alan and Mark, make your predictions.
I'm more familiar with Aaron Phillips, so I'm just going to – he wins by default.
Okay, Mark.
I think Dylan's size is just going to make the difference. I think Dylan takes it.
You think Dylan Smith? So you guys are split here.
Yeah, we got split right there.
Split,
you know,
down the middle, man.
It's an interesting fight, really. You know, yeah. I mean, Aaron has obviously had his holes on the ground. I don't know that Dylan's fought a guy that's like just a moose like this, though.
Yeah, I know.
I agree, but still, I got to take the underdog.
All right. Well, moving on to bout number three, it is brought to you by 50-50 Sports Tavern and contested in the lightweight division at 155 pounds. Jordan Nunnery, a debut independent out of Madison, West Virginia, taking on Dallas Smart, 2-1 out of Bushido MMA in Kingsport, Tennessee. Tim, your thoughts?
Well, I'll set the table with both these guys being pretty unknown. Obviously, Jordan Nunnery being a debut, he comes to us by way of Andre Gamble, who we will see just next on the card. Hasn't competed before. Don't really know what to expect. He's a debut. Dallas Smart, same thing. Don't know what to expect. He's from Bushido, but he's a transplant from Reno, Nevada. So it's his first time competing out here. So, hey, again, it's two guys that we haven't seen compete before at all.
All right, guys, who are your picks here?
I'm going with
Andre's guy.
Mark's going with Nunnery.
Going with the independent?
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm going with the independent.
Okay. Alan, who you got?
Yeah, I'm going with Smart. I'm going with Bushido.
All right. Well, the smart money is on Dallas Smart, right?
Yeah,
nice bad joke. I gotta get one in at least for each episode. Bout number four brought to you by Intimate Treasures, a middleweight matchup at 185 pounds. The Infidel, Andre Gamble, 3-5 record out of Team Infidel in Richlands, Virginia. He takes on Michael Schaub Firmus, 1-0 out of D3 Elite here in Johnson City, Tennessee. That's a pretty awesome matchup there, Tim.
Yeah, I think this is certainly the best MMA bout on the card. Andre's an experienced vet, very tough. He's fought a lot of very difficult opposition. Schaub's kind of the hot amateur prospect coming out of D3. He's a very exciting striker, kind of, you know, chopped his last guy down with leg kicks, essentially won with leg kicks. And so we'll see, you know, Andre, you know, he doesn't fear anyone. He's going to come forward. He's going to be in his face and definitely be a more game competitor than his last opponent. And we'll see if Schaub's up to the task.
Mark and Alan, what say you?
Schaub's a different kind of animal, man. He's going to come. No question.
You got it for Schaub. Schaub also, he's a mean cook as well.
Yes, he is. Those crepes are off the hook, man.
Mark Lawson.
Alan, who do you pick here?
I'm going Schaub as well.
Going Schaub. All right. Well, that's straight across the board there. Bout number five. Brought to you by Sprint PCS Super Atom Weight matchup at 110 pounds. Hannah Shelley, 0-1 out of Team TKO, Knoxville, Tennessee, taking on the Asian sensation Linda Gray, 1-1 out of D3 Elite in Johnson City. Pretty awesome matchup. We've seen both of these ladies in action before.
Yeah, they're both little firecrackers, you know. They both come forward. They both are swinging, and both very tough ladies. And, man, who knows? I mean, I think we're going to see a lot of volume.
Yeah, and this is amateur Muay Thai. This isn't mixed martial arts, so right. You're going to see a lot more happening here as far as, you know, the ladies are going to throw for the fences, not have to worry about the takedown and the clinch work so much. I mean, there'll be some clinch work, but not the same kind you would see in mixed martial arts, so I'm excited about it. Gentlemen. Alan Linda, and Mark.
Linda seemed super confident about it. She didn't know that the girl had ever fought MMA before, and this is when she thought the fight was MMA. But now she's even more confident that it's just kickboxing. So I expect Linda to do well in this.
I can't imagine Linda ever not being confident.
Exactly.
Yeah, man. Win, lose, or draw, she always cuts a rug out in the middle of the cage. She dances
exactly.
At the end of everything.
You dance no matter what.
Right. Alan, who's your pick here?
I can't go against Shelly, man. I just got too much respect for her. I'm not familiar with the Asian sensation. I may have met her. I think I might have met her. But, I'm going with Shelly.
I think you'd know if you had.
Yeah, you'll know Linda. Linda's a character. She's one of the most vivid characters, I think, on the Valor fight. So the Tri-Cities MMA scene whatsoever. So moving on to bout number six, Cannon Family Dentistry brings it to you. Super lightweight matchup at 137 pounds. Amateur Muay Thai, Cody Jordan, 3-2-1. I'm sorry, 3-2 with one KO, fighting out of National Martial Arts in Oak Ridge, Tennessee, taking on Imran Ahmed, a debut out of D3 Elite here in Johnson City. Great matchup. Tim, talk about it.
You know, we don't know what to expect out of Ahmed. He's one of D Long's guys who, he feels like he's ready to step up to Cody, who has already had five fights and has been pretty active here lately and looked pretty good. So, I really don't know which way. I think this is one of those potential fight of the nights. I know that Mark is a big Cody Jordan fan, and I'd like to hear what he's got to say about it.
Hey, what's going on with Cody Jordan? I want to know.
Jordan owes me money, number one. Let's just get that out in the fucking open, all right? The Valor Hour for making shit known, and this motherfucker bullshit me for fucking 3 hours last week and then left still bogus in the black 30. So I hope he gets his ass kicked. I hope he loses, and whoever the hell he's fighting from these three, I hope they beat the shit out of me. Cut man back. Wow. Number one.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I'm gonna follow that up by just saying I'm mad because
I'm pissed.
Yeah,
well, Alan. Alan, are you gonna take that bet, man? Are you gonna go against Mark and Imran Ahmed? Are you who you got?
No. I'm going Ahmed.
Going with Ahmed as well. Okay. No. All right. Well, we're great answers so far. Bout number seven presented by OEB Law. Junior cruiserweight matchup contested at 186 pounds. It is amateur Muay Thai. Anthony Silva, a debut out of Team TKO in Knoxville, Tennessee, taking on Chris Buttry, 2-0-1 with one KO out of local legends in Morristown, Tennessee. Very excited for this one.
Yeah, I think this one should be exciting for sure. Buttry's always in very exciting fights. He's a young, athletic prospect that is really highly touted here in our region. Who knows with Silva? He looks like a pretty big, strapping guy himself. You know, with Tim Kitts, he always brings fighters that are you know, game and ready to give a good test. So, I think this one will probably be all action, really.
Gentlemen, Silva or Buttry, make your pick.
Yeah, I'm going to go.
I'm going Buttry. Buttry is he showed what a heart in his last fight and showed a lot of athleticism. That's what I'm going with.
Alan, what say you?
Yeah, I'm going Buttry on this. I just like the way he fights. You know, he really should, like he said, he showed some heart in the last fight. And, you know, nothing against Team Kitts and Team TKO, even though they were trolling me this week.
Well, here, what happened? We're all about being truthful here on the Valor Hour. Because, what happened?
Just because I have, you know, maybe a little bit, got starstruck a little bit by Scott Holtzman. You know, I got a lot of respect for him. I took a rare picture, you know, of me and someone else, put it up, and then of course, Team TK just nailed me, saying and saying that, you know, like I made Scott Holtzman out to be like greater than God or something like that.
Well, ain't he?
You should Photoshop that on a cross.
It's okay to mark out from time to time.
Hey, I'm
yeah. All right. Bout number 8, Double Time Delivery, brought to you by Double Time Delivery. And of course, that is Irish Matt. That's his place, man. And that's really cool for those that of you that don't realize that Matt McKenna is the man behind Double Time Delivery, and he's been in the mixed martial arts world for a long time here, especially in the Tri-Cities. Super heavyweight matchup at 212 pounds plus, amateur Muay Thai. Alpha Dog Brock Walker, 2-1 with one KO. The independent out of Rogersville, Tennessee, taking on Gary Paul. The debut out of D3 Elite in Johnson City. Great matchup here, Tim.
Yeah, this one's kind of funny, you know. I mean, it's definitely two very contrasting body types. You know, Brock's thick and short, whereas Gary's tall, and he's going to have a really big reach and height advantage on him. However, Brock's going to have a massive experience advantage on him, whereas Gary's never competed. Brock's had, you know, 3 tie fights, and then I would sure every bit of 10 to 12 MMA fights. So, yeah. You know, he's a guy with a lot of experience giving up some height and reach from a good camp. So I think it kind of makes for a really interesting one.
Yeah, Gary Paul looks like Kurgan off of WWE. Dude, he's a monster. He's huge. But like you said, Alpha Dog, Brock Walker, I mean, he comes to bang. We've seen his face bloody and bruised and him still tolling forward. Gentlemen, what is your pick here in this matchup?
Brock Walker is one of the toughest dudes I know, man. But I'm not sure he's going to be able – after seeing his chin go in the last fight, I'm not sure if he's going to be able to make it through this one. I don't know.
Have you seen any of Gary's training? You know, I know Gary, but I've never
Gary,
been.
I've seen Gary's training, yes. But, you know, I mean, Brock's giving up the height and reach. It smells like flash knockout to me.
Okay. Alan, your pick.
I'm just going to go with Gary on this one.
You'll go with Gary Paul. Okay, you guys are agreeing. You're agreeing an awful lot here, but that's okay.
Hey, you want me to switch? All right, man. Mark has no idea what he's talking about.
We got two more. We got two more still. Bout number 9, brought to you by Powersiders Plus, a light heavyweight matchup at 175 pounds, professional boxing. Josh Millwood, pro debut out of Georgia, taking on Charlie Watson. 1-1 with one KO out of D3 Elite in Johnson City, Tennessee. Damn, Charlie's a kid. We were talking about it earlier. I watched him when he was probably 7 years old when he got into boxing. Him and his brother Blayton both. We won't see Blayton in action, but we got Charlie matched up. That's a big one here.
Yeah, this is a pretty interesting match because, you know, Charlie is the boxer by trade, whereas Millwood will be making his debut. I don't know how, that he has a whole lot of boxing experience, but he is does have quite a bit of MMA experience, and he is a pro MMA fighter with already 3 pro bouts, a pretty decorated amateur MMA fighter, and coming from a tough camp down there in Georgia. So I think he is still going to give Charlie a very good test here in his debut. And Charlie's been on the shelf for a minute, you know, so we'll see what kind of rust he has, and also fighting up as heavy as 175 pounds.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Mark, I remember when Charlie was just a little boy, man. He was like 60 pounds, oh, yeah. You know, forever. He stayed small forever. And then, you know, he grew up. You know Charlie extremely well. Talk about this matchup.
I do, man. Charlie has been on the shelf for a while. He is, he hadn't fought in a couple of years. You know, there's a couple of contract disputes and other sorts. But at the end of the day, the kid had skills back in the day. And I've been to the gym lately with him, and he has really been putting some sauce on his punches. So, man, I can't go against him. I got to take him. Blayton Brothers all day. Sorry, Charlie all day.
The Blayton brothers. The Watson brothers, Charlie and Blayton. Alan, your pick on this one.
Well, I'm just going to go against Mark because I don't like him anymore. And, so I'm going Millwood and, knockout.
Alan, Charlie's going to be real upset with you when he hears
Dude,
I say something. Oh,
really? Maybe. Oh, yeah. No. He'll probably say something to you on Facebook.
I have no idea.
Guaranteed.
Anyway. All right, moving on.
Let the record show that's the first time that Alan has ever even talked about boxing in his life.
That is true. Sure now.
And I'll be all just awesome talker.
Charlie Watson is a bad motherfucker, man. He really is.
Damn it.
Well, it is our co-main event, and rightly so. Now, moving on to bout number 10, our main event, and it is brought to you by 50-50 Sports Tavern, a heavyweight matchup and a pro boxing matchup. And, you know, really it's something to see pro boxing headlining this entire card, and this is a good one. Rico Ralston, pro debut out of Waverly Fitness in Waverly, Tennessee, taking on Mike Thomas, a.k.a. Big Mike, in his pro debut fighting out of D3 Elite here in Johnson City. Tim, way to set up a great main event.
You know, this one kind of came together at the last minute. It was supposed to be Rico against Brad Austin and Mike Thomas against Philip McLaughlin. And those fights all kind of fell apart for whatever reasons. And now we've got 2 pro debuts still against each other. And this is an interesting one, man, because, you know, Mike is the more pedigreed boxer. Rico already has 8 pro MMA fights and was a highly decorated MMA amateur. He is very athletic, very much in shape. And, you know, that kind of evens things out a little bit, I think, from the experience that Mike has in straight boxing. So, man, this is going to be a good one. This is a good one to end the night, and I don't see this one being boring.
Mark, you picking Big Mike or Rico Ralston?
Man, it's a tough one to call, bro. This one is, I think, the endurance of, man, it's just so tough. I want to call Big Mike all day, but, you know, the MMA experience says a lot. You know, he's got the endurance to go. So I'm still calling Big Mike, and I'm praying. Yeah.
Alan, your pick on this one. You know, Big Mike.
I'm not going against Big Mike, man. I got to be entertained, you know? Like, I need him doing all that stuff that he does, man. Keeping me entertained, throwing hands, man. He can – I don't know. I'm not real familiar with the other guy, you know, as much as I am Big Mike. And, man, I know he's comfortable with his hands, man. I'm going Big Mike.
Well, you're absolutely right. Win, lose, or draw – Big Mike will entertain, and that is one thing that, you know, we expect and will definitely deliver. Now, remember, that closes out this big lineup of fights, but get your tickets now. It is Strikefest, and it goes down this Friday night, July 7th, at Carver Recreation Center in Johnson City, Tennessee. It is boxing, kickboxing, and mixed martial arts all under the same roof inside the ring. You've not seen mixed martial arts inside the ring in a long time here in the States, and now it makes its return. It's going to be a great night of fight. Join us next week as we recap Strikefest and continue our discussion on When Worlds Collide, July 22nd, plus more great interviews and discussion as we continue our updates on a huge summer of mixed martial arts events. Please remember to share this broadcast and subscribe at Apple Podcasts and Stitcher. We appreciate all the likes, but we need your shares and subscriptions. For myself and Valor Fights President Tim Loy, as well as Alan Poole and Mark Laws, thanks so much for listening, and join us next week for another episode of The Valor Hour.
For more information on upcoming events, visit ValorFights.com or find them at Valor Fights on both Facebook and Twitter. This has been The Valor Hour, powered by the law offices of Ogle, Elrod, and Beryl on Radio Influence.
This is an Ian Beckles Flavor in Your Ear Quick Fix on Radio Influence.
Okay, it's time to start legalizing things, people. Let's start legalizing things and figure out ways to help our economy, which can be extreme, way more strong than it is right now. Let's go ahead and legalize sports betting, okay? Because it ain't going nowhere. Let's legalize weed and let's legalize prostitution. Let's just do it because it ain't going to stop anyway. Let me give you some statistics, okay? So Florida, they're still fighting the fact they don't want to legalize marijuana. They don't want to do this. They don't want it medicinal. They're fighting it. Let me give you some statistics. Colorado, March, $132 million, which makes it 10 consecutive months of over $100 million in sales. So if the state's making, I don't know what percentage, any dang percentage, that's a whole lot of money going to the state. And that's all that money that we're not getting here in Florida, okay? So in the first quarter, Colorado's made $366 million, which is up 36% from 2016. It ain't going to go down. So let's stop being silly, people. Seriously, legalize marijuana. Betting. There's hundreds of billions of dollars that are bet every year illegally. But now they're getting people like, I've heard Jerry Jones speak on gambling, how it should be legalized. I'm hearing Adam Silver, who's the NBA commissioner, saying it should be legalized. You know why? Because it should be legalized. You know how much illegal gambling is going on campuses and every damn where, everywhere people are gambling, okay? It's not making the NFL, but it sure enough ain't hurting the NFL. If the Colts are playing the Bengals, I really don't need to watch it. If I got a little something on it, I'm going to watch it, okay? So gambling is fantastic for sports. We have to know that. And we're talking about oodles of billions of dollars. So everybody's got to be smart and finally realize this, okay? Because the numbers definitely don't lie.
You can find Ian Beckles' Flavor in Your Ear on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and RadioInfluence.com.